seen. People have died. People have been beaten. People have been persecuted. And they've been arrested. But they continue to share the good news and share the gospel. I'm just going to read the passage, if that's okay. You can pass out Bibles if you want, or follow it on your phone, which is probably more likely. It's Acts 8, and it's verse starting at, I'm going to start at verse 5, even though we're kind of really technically looking from 8 on. So I'll read from verse 5. So this is kind of the start of where the gospel spreads out further. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed. This isn't like me at all. Okay, just to say this, that's not why I'm saying it. This man is the divine power known as the Great Power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So we start to see the gospel spread out from beyond its original place. We see the disciples talking about Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. In this passage, we meet Simon, a magician who thinks he's great does magic, shows power. But the passage is kind of divided into two parts. It kind of stops at verse 13. So what I'm going to do is I have the passage printed out, so you don't need Bibles as such. What I want you to do is I'm going to give a piece to each person. What I'd like you to do is have a look at the passage. Maybe you can take the believe one. And then if you, this group here, take the receive one. Could you pass those out? So what I'd like you to do is have a look at the passage. I want you to read it by yourself first. If you have a pen, maybe someone could grab pens. Could they from the office? That'd be okay. Someone with a key. What I'd like you to do is just read through the passage and make any notes or highlight on it. The kids can do this as well if you want. The creche or whatever we call it is in the back. If you'd like to go in there, there's toys and things. Or if you want to sit at the back, Wendy's going to sit at the back there, and we can talk about some of these questions. What I'd like you to do is read the passage first yourself and make any highlights on it, anything you don't understand or anything that jumps out. And then what I'd like you to do is have a look at some questions that are going to come up on the screen. And then if you're comfortable, you're happy to, just chat to the people around you about it. Hopefully the person beside you has the same thing. So this side here and maybe a few others have believe, and the group here have receive. So what I'd like you to do is have a look at the passage yourselves, make any points on it, and then after you've read it, get together and just answer some of the questions that are on the screen. Think through what they say. So this group here, the believe ones, you have the questions on the left-hand side, and then the receive people, which is the second half of the passage, have the bold side here, the one on the right. So I give you a few minutes to have a read through that and then chat to the person beside you or a few people beside you. Feel free to spread out if you want to share the discussion. Have you had enough time? Yeah? Have you got through all the questions? General feeling is you have. Thanks for having a look at that. Sometimes I think you can hear a talk or someone just reeling off stuff and you don't always get the meaning of it, but I think sometimes when you look at it yourself, you pick up bits. What I'd like to do is just get like a little bit of feedback on some of the questions you have, so feel free to shout out. Firstly, we just start with the believe. So this was the first half of the passage. So first question was, what does it mean to believe in something? Did anyone have any kind of definition? This wasn't a trick question. It was just, what does it literally mean to believe? I know Karen Harris was trying to find deeper meaning in it. did you have any? What does it mean to believe? Trust, okay. Okay. Any other definitions or anything? Okay. So it's an action. Any other? Echoes your proof. Truth. Excuse the rising, I've just kind of combined words together in like a hashtag, echoes your, sorry about that. Okay, any definitions on receive? Say that again. Very good, okay. Any others on receive? Grace to accept. Yeah. Any others on receive? Anyone got a... Being open? Okay. Any others? Happy enough with that? Willing? Sure. Of those who had believe, I want to ask you the newspaper TV channel, but does the source... of something, when you're believing something, affects whether you believe it or not. Okay. Because obviously in the passage there, you have Simon, who they did believe and saw as great, because he said he was great, so they did believe him. But then something new came along that they didn't have necessarily any background in, but they believed it. In the passage, was your, on the belief one, was there anything in the passage that made you question your original definition of what it meant to believe? Is there anything in that passage that helped you understand belief? What it means to believe? Or what happens in the passage? Okay. Okay. So they did something. They thought he was great. Yeah, okay. So there's a bit of an action to it. Anything else on believe in the passage? Any other groups? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Whereas when they saw, maybe when they heard about Jesus, they saw it as a more positive thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose belief doesn't necessarily mean you believe in something positive. It could be an evil thing or a negative thing, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that's true. I think that's a really good point, because I think although it says he believed and was baptized, we think that that's a really positive thing and now he's become a Christian. But I think it was out of selfish motivation that he does it. He wants to be a better magician, nearly. Okay. So he was kind of believing for selfish motives. You won't be able to read any of this. I don't know why I'm writing it up, to be honest, just for my sake. On the receive side, what does it mean to receive? Or what are they receiving? What does it mean to receive the Holy Spirit? Okay. Anything else? Okay. Okay, so not just acquiring something, but it kind of affects your heart. It's a deep down thing. Okay. On the believe people, those who had the believe passage, what did the people do? Like, what happens when they believe? Do we know much about what happens when they believe? Or why they believe? Yeah, what does it say? Yeah, it says the people believe first, but yeah, it could have been. Maybe it was just a... Yeah. Yeah. On the receive... Did anyone have any kind of difference that it makes in their lives? Do we see, you don't see a huge amount of it necessarily in this passage, but otherwise, when people receive the Holy Spirit, do you see differences it makes in the lives of? Okay, yeah. So what, to do things that maybe people aren't used to doing, are able normally able to do? Yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. So their eyes are open, so they follow. I suppose we see that in the disciples as well. Any other difference? The caveat. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, because we don't know whether he does receive the Holy Spirit, it doesn't actually say. But he's challenged on it. Any other things on receive? Any other differences anyone else had? I suppose we've seen in the passage or the passages up to this in Acts, we've seen people being healed and people speaking and these ordinary uneducated men being able to do things that they weren't before able to do. When we were praying there beforehand, Michael was just praying about that thing. You've probably heard it before about the biggest distance in the world is between your head and your heart. And I think for Simon, particularly in this passage, he has this knowledge of who God is, but I think, as Mary said, it's kind of a selfish motivation that he wants this power. He wants to be better rather than he actually just wants God. And I think for the people there, they saw a great person in Simon and they followed him, but now they've suddenly seen a great God and their lives change. But I think there's a big difference between knowing things in our head, believing that God exists. Even the devil believes God exists doesn't mean he's a Christian. And I think a lot of the time we can believe things in our head and we can know about God, but until we know it in our heart, which is, I think, what's happening in the second part of the passage, where the people receive the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. And I think we've kind of touched on some of the things, the difference the Holy Spirit makes. I think one of the big differences the Holy Spirit makes is it reminds us of who we are. It reminds us of whose we are. It reminds us of our identity in Christ. That's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, that we know that we are a child of God. I think other ones, enable there is a word. The Holy Spirit is an enabler. We see that hugely in Acts and in all the Gospels with the disciples, as they have Jesus with them, and then in Acts as they have the Holy Spirit with them. We see them enabled to do stuff that they can't normally do. They have a new power, able to do things. And also the Holy Spirit challenges. I think sometimes as Christians, as we live our lives, as we journey with Jesus, we try and do things on our own and in our own strength. We think we know how to do it, but we miss out on the power of the Holy Spirit. We miss out on knowing truly that we are children of God, that we are loved by Jesus. And we try and just do things in our own strength. Just before we sing the next song, just going to give us an opportunity for prayer. You're free to pray where you are by yourself. Maybe you've been challenged on, as you looked at this passage, maybe it's something I believe and I know in my head, but I don't really know it in my heart. I haven't received the Holy Spirit. Or I need to receive the Holy Spirit again. I think there's sometimes in life we can be caught up in things, but Jesus is there to release us. In Luke 4, it says, Jesus says when he comes back from the desert, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And I think we can know that freedom and that release from things that are going on in our lives, whether it's a particular relationship or a particular problem at work or college or school or whatever it might be, that Jesus gives us that freedom, and the Holy Spirit living inside us can remind us who we are and give us freedom from these things. I think the Holy Spirit gives us power and an ability to do things, to be able to speak, to be able to share, to be able to heal, to be able to do whatever. Luke 4:14, Jesus is in the desert and he comes back, and in the power of the Spirit, he comes and proclaims who he is and what he's here to do. So we're just going to offer a time of prayer. It's not kind of anything crazy. It's just, if there's stuff going on in your life you'd like prayer for, if you'd like the Holy Spirit, if you'd like to have more belief in what you believe, if you'd like more of the Holy Spirit, more power, more to be more enabled, to know that you are a child of God. We're just going to have a time of prayer. Feel free to pray yourself as you pray to God. You don't need anyone in particular to do it. But we're going to have, I think, Wendy and myself, and who are the other two? Lee and Michael are going to, Lee and Michael stand there, and myself and Wendy over here. So if you just like someone to pray, we're just very simple. Pray for people as they come up. We all need the Holy Spirit daily. It's not a once-off thing, and then we rely on it for the rest of our lives. But praying for the Holy Spirit to just fill your life and enable you to live your life for Jesus. So we're going to do that. The band are going to play a song, or play a bit of music, and then into a song. So feel free just to engage with God, pray to God, cry out to God and where you are, and do feel free to come up for prayer. It's not some crazy mad thing. It's just simply just people, normal people praying for normal people. So let me just pray before we have time. Father, we thank you that you are far greater and far bigger than this guy Simon that we read about in Acts 8. Father, that you are far bigger and far greater than even the disciples. Father, we thank you that we can believe, that we can know in our heads that you are real and that you walked on this earth and that you have something to say to our lives. But Father, so much of the time we keep that in our heads, and we just know stuff, but we don't really believe in it. It doesn't affect our hearts or our lives or how we live. Father, I really pray this morning as we sit here that each person here may know that they are your children, that they are loved by you, that they have the Holy Spirit inside them. And Father, we pray for lots of situations that are going in lots of people's lives, just in this small group of people here, things that we find really difficult, things that we have to face. Father, I pray that you would fill each person with your Holy Spirit, that you will enable them in their lives. that you might give them power and authority to speak and share of you, that you might give them wisdom to know what to do in the situations that face them. Father, I pray that in this prayer time that we might just talk to you ourselves, but also that we might receive prayer from other people as well, that we share our lives together. I just pray, yeah, that you might move here now. Amen. Feel free to come up for prayer.